All right, we are, another year's come and gone. I'm always debating on special occasions like this to do a sermon on the new year. It does give us an opportunity to reflect back on 2025. And as we come into 2026, and you know, sometime it's just another day. Nothing magical happened at midnight on December 31st. Nothing magical took place. We just entered a new year. However, it is a new beginning, in a sense. It is a time that we can look back and reflect and maybe make changes, maybe readjust some things. It's like a new bill of health. You know, you've been sick for a long time and you've gone through so many things, and the doctors have given you medications and things, and you're over it. And the doctor has given you a new bill of health. So it's a new beginning. Now you can go back and do the things you did before you got sick, or you can do some adjusting. You can do some changing. I know that there are things I've changed, because I don't want to have what I had before. So when you get that everything is good, you got a new bill of health, then you put into play what you need to do. It's like going to the new year in school. It's a new year. You have an opportunity to do the things you didn't do the year before. You have an opportunity to put more time in your study. You begin to set a mindset of wanting to learn now. Last year was not too good. You move into a new neighborhood. Well, it gives you, you got a new home, you're in a new location. You got an opportunity now to witness to those who are new. So it does give us the opportunity to reflect back on the past year. And what do I need to do? My question this morning, have you planned for 2026? Have you made any plans for 2026? When a new year comes, it does remind us of two things. I look back and I think how fast 2025 went. I mean, like a blur. But there was still the same amount of time in it. Same number of hours, same number of minutes, same number of seconds. But it just seemed like it was a lot faster. But one thing it does tell us when we enter in a new year, and that is this: time marches on. Time marches on. It is continually moving forward. And as it does, things change. Look in the mirror. Things change. Unseen circumstances come about. Challenges you're going to face. And we're older. But time moves on. But that leads to the second fact. It waits for no man. It waits for no man. Time moves on, and time does not wait for any man. It is unstoppable. You can't stop it. And opportunities can be lost if not taken advantage of. They can be here today and gone tomorrow. James says that life is a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow, along with the opportunities that it brings. So when we face those two realities, that time marches on, and that time waits for no man, it is unstoppable, the often used statement of procrastination, when I get around to it, becomes unwise. But how many live their lives getting around to it? How many live their lives getting around to it? The fact is, you may not be around to get around to it. And you will get around to it, the it may vanish. Because you're not promised. You're not promised that you're going to be around to get around to it. And that it that you're going to get around to may disappear. Now, you can apply that to many areas of life. Projects, things that need to be done, relationships, work, study, but the most important is spiritual growth. Time marches on. Time waits for no man. When it comes to spiritual growth, it is unwise to say, when I get around to it. Procrastination in the things of eternity, in our spiritual growth, there are opportunities that are here today and may be gone tomorrow. Well, for the Christian, priorities are important. In fact, essential if spiritual growth is to take place. Let's turn to Ephesians 5. Now, that's not going to be a passage, but I want us to look at this, Ephesians chapter 5. Very familiar to you. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Let's say verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, wake up, you that sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, walk with discernment, okay? Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, buying up the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then he goes into, talks about the wine in excess. Then he talks about verse 19, praising the Lord, worshiping. Verse 20, giving of thanks. And then he goes into submission and responsibilities in the home. So right after he talks about redeeming the time, he goes into those areas. In other words, be filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, redeem the time, like we were talking about in Galatians this morning. Redeem the time as you walk in the Spirit, as you exercise the fruit of the Spirit. Redeem the time when it's talking about worship, verse 19. Don't let it fall by the wayside. Don't say, I'll do it when I get around to it. Redeem the time giving thanks for all things. Don't let a day go by without thanking the Lord and giving thanks to Him. And then redeeming the time in the family. As we look, as it starts out in verse 21, talks about the wives and the husbands. Well, have you ever thought about what you're going to do in 2026 when it comes to spiritual things? If I asked you, I said, have you made plans for 2026? And then the next question is, how much of those plans were spiritual, eternal plans? How many of those plans had to do with your spiritual growth, your walk with the Lord, compared to how many had to do with just temporal things that come and go? Now with that, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 14. Because we need to make plans if we're going to accomplish anything. In Luke 14, read verse 28 to 30 first. Well, we'll read a little further. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Or what king goeth to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Well, he's talking about planning here. Planning is important. Now, the background to our passage here has to do with discipleship. It has to do with the cost of those who follow the Lord. It has to do with setting out and counting the cost. What is it going to cost me to follow the Lord? But it also is a principle here that we want to take and apply as we look at 2026. Why is it that people fail in their endeavors? Why is it that people fail when they make the resolutions? And there will be many resolutions made this year, like every year. And they will give out about the end of February. Go to the gym, you know, it's packed, slam, full January and February. You get in there in March and it starts slacking off. And then April, it's just a smidgen. They start good, but they end bad. Well, it doesn't matter whether these plans are for temporal things or eternal things. How many times do people fail at carrying through with them? And most of the time it's because of two things. There is bad preparation and bad planning. Now, discipline plays a part in that, no doubt. So before you do either one, it is wise to sit down and think through everything that goes into it. And that's what the Lord is saying here to those that wish to follow Him. So He uses two illustrations, building a building and going to war. You don't do either one of those unless you sit down and plan and make preparation. When it comes to building a building, a lot of plans go into that. From the ground up. What about the ground that you're going to build on? Is it suitable for the building? You got to decide that. Then the engineer, construction, is going to come out, and they're going to have all their plans, and they're going to lay it out. And then what about the availability of resources? What are you going to build it out of? Where are you going to get it? How much is it going to cost you? Are they scarce? Are they going to be hard to get? So all of that, you want to do that before you start building. And of course, you're going to decide where you're going to build it. When you go to war, do you know your enemy? Do you know their strength? What is the experience level of those that you're going to go up against? What kind of weapons do they have? What kind of weapons are available to them? What kind of terrain is it going to be? Is it going to be nighttime, daytime? Where are you going to? All kind of things that he uses. So this is all preparation that goes into it. All the planning that takes place. You're going to build a building. You get all the resources, you get everything, and then you take it out there to the site of where you're going to build it, and you put it on the ground, and then the ones that are going to lay the foundation come out there and find out you put everything exactly where the foundation is going to be poured. That's not good. Lack of planning. Lack of preparation. So, note the word in both of these illustrations, first. First. He said, who's not going to sit down first and count the cost? Who's not going to sit down first and consult whether he's able to win the battle? Well, there are some things that are absolutely first. There are some things that take priority. And when it comes to spiritual growth, certainly it is preparation and it is planning. It is to make sure you got a plan. Make sure you got everything. You're preparing mentally for what you want to do. What do you desire? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to accomplish in 2026 spiritually? Where do you desire to be at the end of 2026? How are you going to go about accomplishing what you desire? Organizing, is everything I need available and in order? What steps is it going to take for me to grow spiritually? When we don't think things through, we get frustrated, don't we? When we're not prepared, we get frustrated. When we get halfway through a building and we find out the resources are not available, you get frustrated. Lowe's is a good way to start here. You know, I've always said when you go to Lowe's and you buy something, make sure you buy about 2 or 3 times more of that. Because I find every time, now I'm not trying to rock them out, every time you go back to Lowe's, they don't have it anymore. And they don't know when they're going to get it. Always make sure you buy enough. I found that to be very true. So when planning and you're getting something, you better get some extra. Because if you don't, you might not see any more of it, or you might wait a long time before you get it. So there are a lot of projects. You go down and you see houses that at one time they were building it, then all of a sudden you go and it's sitting there, the foundation, maybe got a wall up or two, and it's covered with weeds. It never gets finished. Now you wonder, is there a legality? Has there been a death? Okay. Or was it just poor planning? Poor preparation. They started something and they couldn't complete it because of finances, because of resources, because of whatever. And so you see that and you wonder, why was it not completed? And many times it was a lack of planning, not sitting down and counting the cost, not sitting down and saying, this is what we need to do. I want this by this date, this by this date, this by this date, in order to accomplish this. Now, I want us to look at some other passages. We're just looking at this because, you know, when I go into a new year, there are things that I will take into the new year that I've been doing in 2025. Now, I'm talking about as far as spiritual growth, as far as devotions, as things like that. There are things that are going to continue on in 2026. But then there are some things I'm going to change. And I might redo. I might want to plan differently. And there's a kind of a system that I have. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not going to be interrupted. I don't mean that. You know, if somebody calls and they got an emergency or they ain't talking or something like that, I'm not going to tell them, well, you got to give me an hour and I'll get over there. I'm not talking about that. You got to be willing to be interrupted. But you got to have a plan for what you're going to do if you're interrupted. What are you going to do? So you got to kind of figure in all this different scenarios. But the important thing is that I want to do something. I want to plan this. I want to do this. I want to do this. And I don't know. You may have already done that for 2026. Because you want to grow spiritually. There are things you want to learn that you haven't had a chance to learn before. There are books of the Bible you want to really study. You want to read through. Maybe over and over. Maybe you want to read. Again, you know, you always got reading through the Bible. But maybe it's just reading through the psalm over and over during the year. Just reading back and forth through the psalm. Get through it. Come back through it again. Come back through it again. Or maybe it's Proverbs. Maybe you got Proverbs. What, 31? You got a proverb each day. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's just, I know a pastor, he said he read, and I'm sure he read other portions of Scripture. He said, but he made it a point to read every one of the church epistles only during the year. That's fine. But it is all about planning. It's all about planning. What devotional are you going to use? What else are you going to read along with that? Maybe it is a book. Maybe it's a character in Scripture. What do I want to do? I'm planning here, okay? I'm planning. Maybe I want to read a sermon. Maybe I want to read a biography of someone. Maybe I want to do that. So it's all about planning. Now look at Proverbs and notice what he says to us in Proverbs. Now Proverbs speaks to this a lot. If you go to Proverbs 6, notice verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Redeeming the time, as Paul told us in Ephesians. The sluggard, that idea of the sluggard is this. He's always talking about doing something but never does it. That's the idea. That's this word. He's always talking about, I'll get around to it. But he never does it. Now, why doesn't he do it? Procrastination or laziness. That's the idea here. The ant is very industrious. That's why people like to get ant farms. You see how they maneuver and what they do. An ant is a fabulous thing, but they always are getting around to something, but they never make it happen. Now, that's bad enough in temporal things, but when it comes to spiritual things, that is not good. That is not good. So he goes to the ant and consider her ways, which having, notice this, no guide, overseer, or ruler provides her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. She's getting things prepared, this ant. And there's not anybody there to keep them going. There's not anybody there that's overseeing. They're doing it because they are disciplined. They plan. And so the ant God says, learn from my little ant. Don't just step on them. Take notice of them. Learn from them. The ant does this on his own, needs no supervision. Self-discipline to get the job done. Well, look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, verse 15. The simple, that's the word simple there, is they're very naive, okay? They believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his goings. The naive person, the simple person, is one who is uncommitted and easily led astray, easily distracted. This person kind of falls through life. You ever met somebody like that? They just kind of fall through life. They have no initiative. They have no discipline. They just fall through life. That's it. Well, that's the simple person. And when they do that, it says they believe every word. They just toss to and fro with everything. They believe everything. That's the same used over in Ephesians 4, toss to and fro with every wind of doctrine. They just fall through religion. The prudent person is one of discretion and understanding. They have discretion and understanding. The difference between planning and not planning is whether you or where you look, you're going in the future. Do you know where you're going in the future? That's the big difference. What do I want? What are my goals? What am I trying to accomplish? That's the opposite of the simple person. The prudent person has it planned out. This is where I want to be at this time. This is where I want to be at that. This is where I want to be at this time. And they plan things accordingly. However, the simple person, the only focus they have basically is on the immediate. Just the immediate. No planning, no preparation, nothing. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Goals, plans. But in the multitude of counseling, they are established. In other words, look to others for advice. The wise person does that. They look to other people and they get advice. Those who have been there, those who've been there and done that. And they learn from them. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Why? Because you learn from them. That's why I always like to read biographies. To me, that's walking with wise men. Whether they're dead or still living. You walk with wise men because you learn something from them. That's why it's always good to read, talk about spiritual growth, read Christian biographies and see what they faced and how they handled it. And you become wise through that counseling. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verse 27. Prepare thy work outside, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build the house. What is he going back to? He is saying, again, do the first things first. There's things that you got to do, then after that, build thine house. There are things that are important. Get a job before you get married. Okay? I was talking to somebody, Jen and I, just this last, a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, they're anxious to get married. This guy's anxious to get married. I said, got a job? No, I don't have a job. Get a job before you get married. Really? Lay down some groundwork. Get prepared for that. But that's the idea here. That's the idea. Do those things that need to be done first. And then go on with the building. In Proverbs 16:3. Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know what that means? Just look to the Lord for guidance. As you're making preparation, as you're making plans, as you're trying to readjust things, as you're trying to put things in a little bit different order for this coming year, again, that's where it's temporal things or eternal things. Seek the Lord. Commit it to the Lord and let Him guide you through that. And He's the one who will what? Thy thoughts, He says, shall be established. He will establish your thinking. But commit it to the Lord. Always seek the Lord's guidance. Always seek His strength and wisdom in planning. So when you look at Proverbs, and this is just a few we've looked at, makes it clear that no planning or poor planning is absolutely foolish. It is foolish not to plan for things. And the fact that the Lord, you know, some people say, well, the Lord's in, you know, He's in charge of the future. That does not mean that you do not plan. You may go home to be with the Lord tomorrow. That doesn't mean you don't plan today for tomorrow and the next day. We don't know. You don't know. And that's why it's important that we don't say, when I get around to it. And again, especially when it comes to spiritual growth. Look at Romans gives it. Paul has a good example of here. The Lord is in control. He is sovereignly in control. Period. And you make plans. Well, it's just like we mentioned this morning in Sunday school with John Hine. They had plans. Everything was planned out. They were going to leave. He and his wife and his child were going to leave. Go to the church in Washington. Begin his ministry there in that church. His grandfather was going to come. In fact, he was going to go before John. He was going to leave on the 2nd of January. Already had a place out there in Washington where he was going to stay. Everything in place. Guess what? God's still in control. Now, should they have just said, well, we're not going to do any of this planning. We're going to worry about it. We're just leaving hands of God. No. You plan. Proverbs 16, the preparation of heart belongs to man, but the answer cometh from the Lord. You prepare, but God will give the answer, because God is the one that's going to order the steps of a good man. So they planned this trip, and all of a sudden it has fallen apart, other than him being out there now by himself, and then he'll send for his wife and child. But now they got to wait, really, because they don't know when the Lord's going to take his granddad. So things got changed around quite a bit. So Romans 15, if you look at Romans 15, Paul, now here's Paul. Paul makes some plans. In verse 21 of Romans 15, he says, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. He's talking about ministry and giving the gospel. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Who? Rome. But now, having no more place in these parts, having a great desire these many years to come to you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a contribution or a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. So he took up a love offering. Paul says, I've got to go to Jerusalem and give them this love offering. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, talking about at Jerusalem, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you unto Spain. Guess what? Paul did not go to Spain. He went to Jerusalem. He gave the money that those in Macedonia and Achaia had taken up. He made it that far. But then he goes to Rome, and he's in prison. That's it. That was it. So he went to Jerusalem, like I said, that worked out. But God had other plans. Paul, you're not going to go to Spain. He had in his heart to go to Spain. He desired to go. He desired to be in Rome. Now, God allowed him to be in Rome, but I don't think Paul was thinking he'd been in prison. But he was. He was on the house arrest. So, again, if that had not happened, the way we read it, we might not even have the book of Romans. Because everything would have changed. Everything would have changed. Well, as we come in a new year, we know that God is going to supply our basic needs. We know that's going to take place. And we can take steps to ensure that we have those needs. In other words, you can't just sit back and say, okay, Lord, you're going to supply. Food, clothing, shelter. No. You're going to have a part in it too, right? But God's going to give you the ability to do it. He'll give you a way to do it. So you've got to be very careful in approaching your let go, let God. No. Preparation of the heart belongs to man in spiritual things, but answer comes from the Lord. Amen. There is something we do. And then God would do his part. God would do his part. We used to have an illustration, I don't know if I shared this, that we would use scissors. And we would open those scissors up. The wider we open the bottom of the scissors, guess what? The wider the top part of the scissors we got. We always took the bottom part of the scissors is, this is your relationship to the Lord. This is your preparation. This is your preparing. And so the wider that got, the more you prepared, the more you were into the Word of God, the more you were having communion with God, the wider your ministry became. The wider your ministry became. And that's very true. See, if you don't have any communion to God at all, guess what? You're not going to have any ministry. But as you prepare your heart, God does his part. And the scissors become wide at the top. That's the idea here. That's what we're talking about. Now, again, we don't know what 2026 is going to be. We have no idea. We know that God is going to take care of his children. You know that. But there are those who just fall through life. They just fall through life. No planning, no preparation, no responsibility, no commitment, and their life ends up in a total mess. Just ends up in a total mess. And when it comes to the spiritual realm, folks, that's devastating. When there's no commitment, there's no responsibility, no doing, no preparation. And yet there are many Christians that just seem to fall through their Christian life. And they wonder, why am I in this situation? Why can't I handle this sin? Why can't I handle this? Because you're not preparing. You're not preparing yourself. So their Christian life just consists of coming, listening, leaving, and waiting until the next appointed time. Never open the scriptures during the week. Never even think about the Lord during the week. All about what they need to do. All the things they need to do. Temporal things. And then all of a sudden, oh, Sunday again. Here I go. So they come, they listen, they leave, and they gone. No real devotion during the week, no prayer time, no quiet time with the Lord, no reviewing what was preached, no reflection. And yet they expect to what? Live the Christian life. and have victory in the Christian life. Let me encourage you to set aside a time to plan for spiritual progress this year. Just sit down. What is going to be your plan? What can I do to grow in the Lord? What can I do to have a closer fellowship with Him? What can I do? Just go back to the builder. You got everything set. You got all this. You've gone and bought all the material and all. Okay, that's good. That's great. You got that. But then you go back and you put all that stuff exactly where the foundation was going to be. And so the guys that come out to do the building, they look over there and say, how are we going to build a foundation when he's got all that on top of it? Well, you know what? That's the same thing can happen in the Christian life. When we're trying to get closer to the Lord and have fellowship with the Lord, how can we do that? Building a foundation in our Christianity, how can we do that when we've got so much other stuff on it that the Holy Spirit can't even get through? We've got so much other stuff that's preventing the Holy Spirit doing a work on us, the building. Can't even get started because we have so much there. So again, it's all about planning. It's all about priorities. It's all about that. And that's what Christ is telling those. Count the cost first. Sit down first. Sit down what it's going to cost to follow me. Sit down. You want to grow spiritually? You want to get closer to the Lord? You want to have a good, solid fellowship, communion time with the Lord? Plan it out. Plan it out. I want to be stronger next year. Plan it out. Don't fall through 2026. And don't say, when I get around to it. Today's the day to do it. And start putting the plan into action. And have, as I said, a plan B. Because you can get interrupted. And sometimes what happens, we get interrupted maybe two or three times or distracted. Next thing you know, we have forgot about it. And we've kind of, Christ and our fellowship with Him has kind of been edged out over here. Okay? All right, let's stand and we'll be dismissed.